Independent Program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of TriCypher Productions or the Superhuman Channel. TriCypher Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this period. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We've got a great show for you today. First up, the show, we're going to talk about how shaving works. Sounds pretty obvious, right? But is it? And how to choose a razor blade. These simple things tend to evade us, and many of us may be living with problems related to our shaving techniques or products we use, but we don't have to. We're going to be talking with Marshall Brain during the first hour of the show. He's the proprietor of HowStuffWorks.com. We'll start with that in a moment. Later in the show, we're going to be talking with Dr. Amy Anderson, whose group just published a study that shows the implications of nutrition on older adults. Older adults who eat healthy live longer. And we're going to discuss what healthy is for older adults. And I think many of you already know, we've talked about this sort of stuff on the show before, but this is one of those drums that cannot be beat often enough to get the message out to the American public. Before we start any of that, several of you have emailed me since we moved into the new studio saying that when you download the show through iTunes, it sounds like it's coming through a tin can, or has a hollow sound to it. And I have to tell you, we could not figure out what it was here in the studio, but I received an email from a listener in the UK named Everett Van Tilburg. The guy is a genius. He must be an audio aficionado. What he did was, well, first of all, when we rendered the show, we rendered it in stereo. What's called it's called FM quality stereo, which is 64 kilobits, and we then deliver the files to all the different podcast directories. Well, iTunes compresses the file before they send it to you, and they turn it from stereo to mono. Now, Everett discovered that one of our channels is inverted. Our right channel is inverted. If you know anything about waveforms, you know that there's something called constructive and destructive interference. Well, because one of our channels is inverted, when it's converted to mono, and they overlay the two channels, one cancels the other one out and drops the audio down to a fraction of what it originally was. It changes the modulation completely. So, first of all, I want to thank Everett, and I need him to email me his address in the UK because I want to send him a Superhuman Radio t-shirt, first of all. And second of all, we may actually have him on the show after we get to the bottom of why our right channel is inverted, just to pay homage to a listener who has taken enough interest in the show to help us with the problem, and we hope to have the whole iTunes thing solved very shortly. In the meantime, those of you who download the show through iTunes, they have to still go to the website and download it directly from the website so that you get a good, clean file. Okay, I've been shaving since I was a little nipper. My dad taught me how to shave. The only thing he taught me was to take a razor blade and rub it against the palm of my hand when it was brand new before using it. That's because he was born in an era where razor blades had lots of nicks in them, and that was the way to take burrs off it before you scraped your face with it. My guest today, Marshall Brain, he's a proprietor of a website called HowStuffWorks.com, and I found interesting articles there when I started doing research about shaving. Welcome to the show, Marshall.
Hey, how are you today?
Very good, very good. It sounds like a very simple process, shaving. First of all, can you give us any history? When did man start with women? When did we start shaving our body hair?
Well, most societies start shaving in some form about the time they develop metallurgy. So, you know, humans find knives very useful. That's why, no matter how far back you go, as soon as humans start making tools, they're hacking knives out of stone, right? You know, they're chipping little flakes off of flint or whatever they're doing, because a knife is an incredibly useful thing to a human being. So as soon as they get about that time, someone comes up with the bright idea of cutting hair and shaving. That is, you know, a pretty universal thing in human culture. But in the United States, for example, no one shaved in any great degree. You know, unless you were very wealthy and could afford to go to a barber shop and get shaved with a straight razor, no one shaved up until World War One. Everybody had beards. If you look at photos of you know, the Civil War, or you know, look at the pictures of presidents or whatever, people did not shave their beards up until World War One, and then it all changed.
Now, in some cultures, a beard, like the Mennonites, for instance, and the Amish, men wear beards, I believe, and has something to do with marital status. Obviously, that's the beard has had a standing in biblical times as well. Scholars would let their beards grow and so on. Do you think that did we start shaving our beards, in your best assessment from your research, did we start shaving our faces to present a more civilized human being? Was there some civility stepped in? You know, I remember the story of Tom Horn, Pat Masterson, those guys, you know, they were stepping out of the Wild West and into the big city. They were dressing differently. Was it a result of becoming more civilized? We said, well, men should be clean-shaven.
Good. Okay. So, well, first, to go back to your Mennonite thing, there is actually a verse in the Bible, in Leviticus, that tells us we're not supposed to shave. Obviously, we all ignore that today, but according to the Bible, in the Old Testament, shaving is out. But in World War One, if you look at the history of this, in 1901, Mr. Gillette came along with his new safety razor. So he had looked at the problems of the straight razor, the amount of time it takes to sharpen it, the fact that you can kill yourself if you use it wrong. And he came up with the idea of a safety razor, patented it, released it around 1901, and did a great big ad campaign around it. So humanity started to get bombarded with its first shaving ads that claimed that you were better if you didn't have a beard. And that had an effect. But then in World War One, the thing that changed was chemical warfare. So you go out to a World War One battlefield, and they're using things like mustard gas and chlorine and other crazy things, and you have to wear a gas mask. Well, a gas mask doesn't feel right on your face if you have a beard. And so the Army bought zillions of Gillette safety razors, distributed to all the men, and you had to shave if you were in the Army in World War One. And all these guys came home, and also around that time, movie theaters were just starting up. And, you know, the classic newsreel kind of stuff started showing up in theaters, which, you know, doesn't seem like that big a deal to us, but that was television for them. And what people are seeing are these World War One soldiers who were absolute heroes in the eyes of the public as clean-shaven people. And they saw them in the newsreels, and then all these guys came home clean-shaven, and that combined with Gillette's ad campaign, that was the end of beards. There were no beards in the United States from 1920 to 1960. You absolutely did not wear one.
It's not amazing. It was almost like the beard became the sign of the villain.
It is amazing. And that, I mean, it's pure social, you know, whim or fashion, whatever you want to call it. It became out of fashion to have a beard because of that collision of social forces.
That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's start talking about the razor blade. It's gone through a lot of transformations. Nowadays, you can buy one, I think it has actually a louvered 17 blades on it. But we're going to talk more about it, because that's really what we want to talk about. We want to talk about this process of shaving. I think we all take it for granted that you just buy a blade and you just do it, and that's it. We're talking to Marshall Brand. He is the proprietor of HowStuffWorks.com. You want to go to one of the coolest websites I've ever found. For guys like me who love information, HowStuffWorks.com, you got to check it out. You're listening to Super Human Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Yeah. every flaw has an anti-estrogen but so powerful. The Tylenol formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the Tylenol formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Tylenol says it's had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Tylenol is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or find supplements at Soul. For more information, check out GetDS.com. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you have to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2Guard. N2Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. I have never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitro from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the other supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitro by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to SupremeRadio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Also, building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines 3 of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world, dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these 3 agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Turnabol from PrimorialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turnabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turnabol does not aromatize, there is no conversion to estrogen. Turnabol takes advantage of a patented liquid-based technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turnabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turnabol today while supplies last at PrimorialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turnabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turnabol.
I keep telling you about the Quest protein bar. Are you tired of hearing from it? We've given away thousands, thousands, and thousands of Quest protein bars. And you know what? It's almost hypnotic, the effect, because people order them once they try them. And you know why they order them? Because they are the single best protein bar in the world, bar none, no pun intended. First of all, they're made with whey and milk isolate, and not sinewy cartilage, which is not a full amino acid profile. Secondly, there's no sugar alcohol, no added sugar, and gobs of fiber. My favorite is the vanilla almond. I promise you, if you try them, you will be hooked. David Wilson posted on my Facebook this morning, I need a machine that only dispenses 1 Quest protein bar per day because he can't stop eating them. And that's how it'll work for you too if you try one. Go to superhumanator.com and click the Quest protein bar banner and they'll send you 2 for free. You don't have to pay for shipping, pay for nothing. Just eat them. And if you don't like them, call me. I'll put you on the show and I'll let you rag against the bar. I guarantee you'll love them. My guest this hour is Marshall Brain with the website of HowStuffWorks.com. We're talking about the origination of shaving, and now we're going to talk a little bit about razor blades in themselves. So, Marshall, the razor has come a long, long way. Was the straight-edge razor the only way to shave back in the day?
Yes, the straight razor, up until 1901, that was about it. You usually you would have it done by a barber because you truly can't kill yourself with a standard straight razor. And it takes a real it's a real art to sharpen it. So you have to be an expert to get the really sharp razor blade edge on a straight razor.
In fact, they just use a leather strap to sharpen, not even a sharpening stone.
Well, they use both, actually. You use a stone to get the wedge, you know, to return it to the wedge shape, and then you use the stroke to really hone it, you know, to get that super keen edge on it. So you did both, actually, and it took, you know, half an hour or something to really sharpen the straight razor.
I've always heard stories about people saying that is the single best shave. That's the gold standard, the closest shave. Do you think that's true?
Possibly when done by a professional, yes. And, you know, as we get into this discussion and start talking about the old style safety razor that, you know, that Gillette initially invented, there is much to be found on the internet and many people who believe that that is the best way to go, even with a five blade or, as you mentioned,
In Living Color, one time, I did it, Orlando on Saturday night, did a spoof on it, where they said, you know, I had like 11 blades. The first blade removes the whisker, the lifts the whisker. The second one cuts the whisker. The third blade cuts the outer portion of the cheek. The fourth blade removes the powder from your teeth. And it was like, it was hilarious. And, you know, I find those really, really broad-faced blades with multiple louvered blade heads on them difficult to sharpen, to shave with. I can't get into my nose with them. It's like shaving with a 2x4.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who don't like them. But this is all about personal preference and how your skin reacts to each different shaving product. So everybody's skin is different, and every person has their own preferences. But I will say that there is a very vocal and prolific group of people on the internet who will tell you that old style shaving mug with old style shaving soap combined with a single blade safety razor from say the 1940s and that you pick up at a thrift shop used, possibly you can buy it, but that system, not only is it incredibly inexpensive compared to the five blades, but it's supposedly the best shave you're going to get.
Really?
Short of going to a professional.
Now, remember that razor blade? It had a little, at the bottom of the stem that you held, you twisted it, and the top opened like the dome on the Superdome. It opened up, and you would drop that razor in, take the other one out. Back in the day, most medicine chests were made with a slot in the side to dispose of it. You'd put that rusty razor right in there, and it stayed in the wall for decades.
It would, or hotels have that same feature. Every hotel had that little slot forever.
Yeah.
So that is, by many, claimed to be better. Because what happens with the multi-blades that, you know, for other people it doesn't happen, but for certain people, when you use the multi-blade with the, you know, you've heard of it as the lift and cut shaving system, where one blade lifts there and the other comes on behind it and cuts it. That, I think the technical term for that is hysteresis. And that, for a lot of people, leads to ingrown hairs. So the hairs, you know, they are cut and then they fall back below skin level. And instead of growing back, they fold inward. That's where ingrown hairs come from.
Sure. It's kind of like when you have a pair of sweatpants with the drawstring and the string gets caught inside the pants and you can't get it out. And the hair gets caught underneath the skin. It just starts going under the skin instead of pulling back out the orifice that it originally designed for.
That's exactly what happens. And, you know, for some people that doesn't happen at all, but for a lot of people it happens a lot. And they either get that or they get some really annoying irritation from the multiple blades, and they just can't use that system at all. So they end up back either with an electric razor, which is a whole other can of worms, or with the safety blade, the single blade.
How does someone choose the right razor? Is it all trial and error? You shave with this one, you don't get bumps, you don't get razor burn, and that's the one you stick with?
That is the only known way to find out which ones irritate you, which ones you feel most comfortable with, and you know, which one leaves your skin feeling the smoothest, because you've got both how it feels right after you do it, but then how does your skin react to the system? You know, is your skin okay with multiple blades or not? Is it, you know, you could try different shaving creams as well, because those are going to have the skin effect also. And you have to go through trial and error until you find the one that works best for you.
Marshall, no matter what blade I use, now first of all, let me preface this by saying for a very, very long time, I bought the cheapest blades available, $2 for like 30 of them, the ones in the bag. And it wasn't a matter of if I nicked myself. It was more a matter of how many times I nicked myself. And my girlfriend said to me, why don't you just buy a good blade? And I said, oh, I hate to spend the money on a good blade, because the razor is the cost of replacing the cartridges every time, and it's so expensive. But sure enough, I did go to a more sensible three-blade system. And while I still can't get the deep crevice right beneath my nostrils, I still have like little hairs in there no matter what I do, because it's so wide, I am not nicking myself any longer. So there was some truth to that. But here's my big challenge. I end up with orangutan lip. You know what that is? Okay. No matter how gently I shave, no matter what direction I shave in, no matter if I just shave with one stroke or lots of short strokes, my upper lip between my nose and my lip gets so red after I shave, no matter what I do. And it looks like an orangutan has that red area of its mouth. It's like I get that red nose, red upper lip.
That is interesting. So, have you tried a single blade safety razor?
No, but after this show, you know what I'm doing. I'm going to get a good one. I'm looking for one. Yes.
Because it'll satisfy two of your things. One, it may help with a orangutan lip, which I've never heard of. And it would also, I'm sensing that you have a frugal streak, which
yes.
My wife and I both have as well. So I completely understand that. And the blades for a single blade system are dirt cheap. You know, they're like 20 or 50 cents each.
Can you even still get them?
Yes. If you can get them at Walmart, but you can definitely get them online, and you can also get them at most pharmacies. With, you know, they'll usually have a bigger shaving section.
My dad used to shave with Gem razor blades. I remember them, Gem, G-E-M. And he said that they were the best because they didn't have the burrs on them. He was the one who told me, before you shave with a new razor, you rub it along the heel of your hand 6 or 8 times to take any burrs off it before you place it against your face. But back in those days, they didn't have a precision to cut a razor that we have today.
Right. Well, and that's really, if you think about it, a kind of fundamental form of stroking. It sort of is duplicating what the leather strap does on a straight razor. So you're using your hand as the leather, and you're stroking that blade. So you're right. You don't have to really worry about burring and all that anymore, but it certainly doesn't hurt anything, and it probably does make it some small amount sharper.
Okay, look what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to kind of talk a little bit more about body hair shaving as well, perhaps, and also the shaving challenges of women. We're talking today with Marshall Green. He's the proprietor of one of the coolest websites I've ever found, because I love information. I mean, I just love it. And it's called HowStuffWorks.com. You've got to check it out. That's where we found information about shaving. And we'll be talking more about that in just a minute, so stay tuned. Crank you up and leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my
my vision, and nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved that I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Cassie Eye Drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Cassie Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid compatible with none but water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space. When you can get the same thing done with just one set of power pots, the new, quieter, Keratin Series power pots with FlexBend technology are the heaviest and easiest to use for change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power pots can grow as stretch grows all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power pots. Or call 800-651-1837. PowerBlock, the world's best dumbbell.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com.
All of your favorite supplements are really good, as fast as the fastest customer service at WorldNutrition.com. Even some of the most popular supplements advertised right here on Sooner You Radio. They carry all American food effects, healthy sciences, and are one of the most products at the best prices on the net. Visit WorldNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Get your chance to fill your order and monthly visit for it. WorldNutrition.com. Best supplements in the universe.
It's not too late to win a set of power block that changed dumbbells. The big European series goes from 5 to 50 pounds in just a click. Go to superhuman.com for the power block. We can't even dumbbell battery. Click it. Put your information in there. We're going to be doing a drawing at the end of the month for the month of January. We've also been announcing the December winner. I know I've been late with this, but we've got we have no problems reaching the first person. So don't forget, my guest this hour is Marshall Brain from HowStuffWorks.com. We're talking about right now how to choose the right razor blade. Marshall, when did women start shaving body hair, especially underarms? I know in Italy we still don't do it. A lot of women still seem natural there.
You know, this is another social thing, but you would have to follow the evolution of the swimsuit. That is the controlling factor. So, you know, if you look back at the turn of the century, women were wearing the really jumpsuits to swim in. You know, they had legs and arms, and
right.
you didn't show skin. A proper lady didn't show skin. For the longest time, and then the bikini was invented, and that all changed, and the whole attitude around body hair, at least, I can't speak to Italy, but in the United States, that's when it really all started
changing.
Yeah, because parts of your body that were never exposed to the public before are now all out in the open, and it causes you to start shaving.
Okay, so body hair shaving, is it different than shaving our face? Do we need to look at different razor considerations, or should we go for electric razors for body hair shaving?
Well, again, it really all comes down to personal preference and your skin. The hair that's on your body is often less coarse than the hair that's on a man's face. I mean, if you just look at regard to your facial hair, generally, for most people, the arm hair is much finer than a man's facial hair is. So, so body hair usually is not, you know, a problem for a modern blade. But you really can, if you prefer either a dry electric shaver or a wet electric shaver, or you prefer a blade, that comes down to personal preference.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned a moment ago about shaving cream. Do you think shaving creams make a difference? I mean, I remember my dad shaving the way you spoke about before. He had a mug that he kept in the medicine cabinet, and there was a round piece of soap at the bottom, and he had a little brush that he would just put some water on the brush, dip it in there, rub it around, and then he would just poke it with dollops of foam on his face, and then rub it in, and then he would shave. But shaving cream really make a difference. For a long time, I shaved sans cream in the shower, just using the water when I'm on my face, and I've gotten some of the best shaving I've ever had in a sauna with that shaving cream.
Right, and a lot of people just use plain old soap. You know, the stuff that's in the bottom of the mug is a bar of soap. You know, it's been made maybe a little more mild, and it might be a little oilier than normal soap, and it might have different scent, but it's soap. And you can shave with just the bar of soap that's in your shower if you're so inclined. Shaving cream is, you know, in the aerosol can is as much a product of advertising as anything, because if you ever give a can of shaving cream to a kid, you can see part of the attraction. It's
fun.
Yes, it's awesome. And any 5-year-old child will show you just how awesome it is in about 15 seconds. It's fantastic. And I think that, you know, even though we're not 5 years old anymore, there's still that part of us that finds some enjoyment and amusement in the, I mean, it's almost like a plastic, you know, this moldable plastic that comes out of the can, and you can do stuff with it, and it feels cool, and,
you know. You think about Silly String, how cool Silly String is, right? Because you press the button and it shot out, you know, it's something you could project. And then the other thing is, shaving cream is fun because it's harmless, it dissolves, it smells good, it resembles whipped cream, even though you can't eat it. You know, it really has the markings of something fun. You're right, so shaving cream is fun to use, and especially these gel creams that you spray in your hand and they grow right in your hand. You know? So that is even cooler, you know?
Mm-hmm. So we should not diminish the play value of shaving cream. But, again, if you turn to the Internet, the shaving purists see that as, you know, not the quality experience they're looking for. So they go back to the brush and mug thing. And the brush is itself interesting because the official brush that you shall use if you're doing this is made of badger hair. And that gives it the stiffness, you know, the right stiffness. You said your father would, you know, poke it or dab it on your face. Well, that's only possible through the technology of badger hair that is used to make those brushes.
And, you know, those bristles on that brush, I can remember them. They had a golden color to them.
Yes.
And they were all different. It was very, very misshapen. It all different lengths. Now, I don't know if that was from years of using and they broke at the ends, or that is how the brush came. It wasn't like they were nice and tapered at the end and perfectly cut. They were really kind of jagged looking almost, you know?
Yeah, maybe a little of both. But they do, if you look at, you know, you can go on the web and find a bunch of places that will sell you badger hair brushes, and they do have a very distinctive look to them.
Do you happen to shave with an old-fashioned straight razor, or what's it called, single blade razor?
It's called a safety razor.
That's the traditional
name for it. I do not. I use the same system, it sounds like, that you use, a three-bladed razor. The five never worked for me, but I like, and I don't get nicks, and I don't get any ingrown hairs with the razor I use, and so I've stuck with that, and it served me well.
Do you find that two blades to three blades really is the magic number in these four, five, six, and these almost pontoonish blade systems that they're coming out with now? Are just to get people to upgrade to the new handle and pay more money?
Well, some people really like the five blade system, for example. I have a couple of friends who swear by it. So, I believe it's all pure personal preference. And it, you know, it's just something you try and you see. I will admit that I am considering trying the single blade safety razor, you know, just in getting ready for this interview. You know, Jessica told me a couple days ago that we would be having this interview, and it renewed my interest in it enough that I may actually do exactly what you said, which is go down to Goodwill and see if they've got one they'll sell me and give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do it. I have to tell you, I'm intrigued by it. I like the economics of it, and I have a strange feeling that was the ultimate system because, as you call it, a safety razor, it was designed to emulate the straight razor shave of a professional barbershop in your own home. So it was designed to take the risk out of deep laceration, but still give you that same quality shave that you could get with a single-edge razor. And I have a funny feeling. I am going to get it. I'm going to do it. I don't know that I'm going to go for the bad hair and the soap. But I'll probably stick with the more modern variations of shaving cream that I like to use. But I'm going to try it. And you know what? Heck, if that works for me and I can save a few shekels at the same time, I'm happy.
Sure.
So
there's a lot to be said for it.
What about, you know, I'm a dark-skinned Italian. And when I scar, I have the tendency to produce keloids, for instance. And I would probably, I'm not to the degree of melanin in my skin where I am prone to ingrown hairs. However, I do know that the darker the skin, the more propensity for ingrown hairs quite often. Is there a different considerations for ethnic people with darker skin versus WASPs or fair-skinned people when choosing a razor blade, you think?
Well, a lot of folks in that situation go electric because it seems to cause less of that. It doesn't give quite as close a shave, but it does seem to work better for a lot of people who have trouble with irritation or with ingrowing or with the kind of scarring you're talking about. So, you know, if you think about the two great names in shaving in the United States, there was Gillette, who invented his system in around 1901, and then Schick comes along, and, you know, Gillette was a man, Mr. Gillette, and Mr. Schick came along and invented the electric razor, and that happened around, you know, the early 1930s was when that happened. And he simply reconceptualized shaving again. If you take, like, Gillette had to make this huge mind leap to go from the straight razor to the safety razor. Well, Chick had to do the same thing and reconceptualize it again to create the idea of a metal foil and then essentially a scissor blade that would come along, you know, an oscillating blade that would come along on the other side of that foil and shear the hairs off. So it's a completely different cutting experience with an electric razor than with a normal, you know, slice the hair off thing. You're shearing them off like scissors with an electric razor in most cases.
Well, looking at the economy of time, do you think it takes longer to shave with an electric razor than it does to shave with a traditional wet razor and shaving cream?
I haven't noticed a big time difference in my own life. I do find that I prefer to shave in the shower.
Me too.
And maybe that's just because it gives me an excuse to have the hot water. I like showers, I'll admit it, so that's a way of extending my shower time. But, yeah, shaving time with electric razors when I did use them.
I mean, obviously, the real value of the electric razor is convenience. I bought a very expensive electric razor when I was a young man in my 20s and living in Las Vegas. I bought a Braun electric razor. And I remember it was almost $200. And I thought, okay, this is going to be great. And I wanted to be able to shave in the car so that I could look like a guy on the go. You know, I was running a business. I was a young guy. I had this image of what a businessman did. And I thought, well, I want to be look like a businessman. I want to be so, I want people to be looking at me. This guy's so big, he's shaving in the car on the way to work. And every morning I get to work, I have whiskers all over my shirt. And I thought, well, I'm not going to do this thing. Well, this is the stupidest idea I've come up with. And I stopped using that razor blade. One of the downfalls that I find with it, because I use an electric razor periodically on my body, and you know, one of the real downfalls is cleanup. There is a big cleanup process when using an electric razor because not all of it ends up inside the razor like it's supposed to, where you can take the head off and brush it into a little, you know, sink. A lot of it ends up on the floor.
Now that's interesting. Are you the sort of person who possibly needs to shave multiple times a day?
I shave in the morning, and I have, by the time I get 5 or 6 o'clock, I can feel my whisker pushing through already.
That's your Italian heritage right there. So you're in a different league.
Supplement right from the source using the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here.
Bovine adolescence has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of Puroprolensis TM Bovine adolescence required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
AJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to PJBraun.com today. That's PJBraun.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way. I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print of 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Talk about the super human radio. We're talking this hour with Marshall Frame from HowStuffWorks.com. Later in the show, we're going to be talking with Dr. Amy Anderson, and we're going to look at the dietary patterns of older adults and what effect they have on longevity. Very profound information. So, Marshall, I take it you're one of those guys who loved information and loved impressing your friends with information. Am I right, Bates?
I was more the kind of guy who loved taking things apart and seeing what was inside of them. So I was a pretty shy kid as a teenager. So I did love taking stuff apart, and I did love reading about how stuff works and just had a curiosity about it. So that, when I was in my 30s, is sort of the seed of where
How Stuff Works
came from.
We have a lot in common. I used to love to take things apart. It usually got me in trouble with my mom.
Yeah.
I took the home phone back in the day, the black desktop phone apart. And my friend, Gary DiStefano, without me knowing, switched some wires on me. And when I reassembled it, I couldn't get it to work. It was the only phone in the house. My mother wanted to shoot me.
Yeah.
And I figured out, it took me a while. But I figured out what was wrong, and I got the phone to work, and I took the whole thing apart because I wanted the magnet inside of it. It was in the ringer.
That's right. Huge magnet, too.
That was a great, shiny silver one. But anyway, what kind of stuff can people find on your website?
You can find nearly anything. If, you know, anything that fits between how blank works, anything you can put in that blank.
What is the most intriguing thing you have on your website that people always go, wow, that's amazing. I didn't know anybody wrote about that.
Yeah. We have some crazy stuff like how Bigfoot works and stuff like that. We have, engine stuff is really popular, electronics, computers, medicine, although, I've been listening to your ads as we go through them, and you're talking about some really serious, deep knowledge of the human body and stuff, so I'm going to have to do some more work on anabolic steroids, for example.
We have a very, very educated audience when it comes to performance. You're performance in all aspects. We talk about cognition and cognitive enhancers, performance enhancers, things that actually reverse aging. We're talking about science, clock flow. It's really, my audience, like, I'm proud to say, I started doing this show 6 years ago, and I'm proud to say that my audience, any one of the people that listens to my show can sit down here and do my job because they're all geniuses. There are very few of them. I remember having scientists come on the show and talk about very complex concepts, and I would be asking them questions.
questions, and they, after the show, they'd say, "Wow, I didn't realize you knew this much about this topic." I said, "Never mind me. I said, if I don't ask these questions, my audience is going to flame me." I said, "Why don't you ask them about that? Because they know about it too."
Right. Well, it's been, just the ads have been interesting. I mean, stuff I've never heard of before. So that's very cool. And that's the kind of thing that wakes me up in the morning and gets me out of bed, is like that there's whole areas of knowledge. It's impossible to know about everything. I'm the world's expert in that. So, but the area that you're in sounds fascinating, and I'm definitely going to go have a closer look at it when we get done with the show.
Yeah, if you go down on the bottom right-hand corner, right-hand side of the website, you'll see a thing that says podcast archive. If you click there, you'll find like the last 150 shows, and I'm sure you'll find some that will really pique your interest.
Yeah, it'll be a cool experience.
And be prepared, because I put my foot in my mouth regularly. So it's a hobby of mine, actually. I know. I can tell the difference of my left foot and my right foot with my eyes closed. So let's put it that way. But anyway, yeah. So this website has been around for how long, HowStuffWorks.com?
It started as a hobby in 1998. It became a business in 2000, and it was purchased by the Discovery Channel in 2007.
So it's owned by the Discovery Channel?
Yes, we're a proud subsidiary of the Discovery Channel, and that has been overall a really good partnership to be up under their umbrella.
How exciting! And I would imagine it's a symbiotic relationship where they feed you and you feed them information, you know, topics and so on and so forth.
Exactly. It's a very good marriage because the two brands were closely aligned in what they were trying to accomplish, and it's worked out well.
Now, you have amazing visit statistics. I mean, your website gets a huge number. Are you allowed to say what the monthly visitation to your website is? Or the hourly range?
Oh, well, sure. It's, it's certainly up in the 10 million or more a month.
Right? Wow. That is so awesome. And you know, also, it's amazing because I thought about when I found the article about, how to choose a razor blade. And your website was like the first, actually two or three articles came up at the very top. And I realized that what you have accomplished is actually what the search engine Jeeves was trying to accomplish in having people place their searches in questions. And it's amazing, how this worked out. Like you said, if you put anything in between how X works, your website comes up at the top. And that's very, very impressive. Kudos to you.
Yeah, well, we've tried to be all-encompassing as we can, and there's a huge staff of people who make that possible, and it's been fantastic getting to work with so many people. It started out as one guy at his kitchen table, but now it's dozens and dozens of really talented people putting the content together.
Very, very cool. And I tell you, I found the article on the razor blade there, and then I just started digging through, and I thought, wow, I could really lose track of time at this point. Because I'm one of those people, I love information. I love information. Unfortunately for me, the information I like now fits in a very, very narrow scope. It's health, fitness, longevity, anything under that heading. But I love information. I always love information. I love books. I love to read. I love to, absorb that sort of stuff. It's not like I'm a pompous and idiot that I want to tell people, but I just like knowing these things. And I could get lost in your website forever if I'm not careful. So it's a great website. I want everybody to go check it out. HowStuffWorks.com. Marshall, I know that you're a busy guy and very, very hard to reach, and you do a lot of video interviews and you're very selective. I don't know why you chose to come on this show, but I'll thank you for allowing us to interview you today.
Well, it's been awesome, and I've learned, I'm going to go off and do some studying myself, so it's been going both ways, and I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Have a great day now, okay?
All right,
so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Amy Anderson on. We're going to talk about the linkage between dietary patterns and survival in older adults. We'll be right back. Crack you up and leave you flat. are strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the other supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through your skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until need-to-build muscles N2Guard. N2Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Finally, a bull bite supplement right from the source used in the original study. PhytoServe 347 is here. Bullbind analysis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of PhytoServe 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bullbind analysis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Welcome back to Super Human Radio. For most of decades now, we have traded infectious disease for chronic disease. And as you know, the message that I've been spreading on this show is that healthcare could really be ignored if we could get people to eat healthy. And a lot of disease that plagues us today would be gone. My guest today is Dr. Amy Anderson, and her group recently published a study called Dietary Patterns and Survival of Older Adults. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. This is a trend I keep beating. I beat it often. I know people get tired of hearing me talk about it. It is really a very, very sticky situation for me because I have been labeled as zealous because I tell people that they have to eat healthy in order to live longer and avoid disease. Unfortunately, the current pharmaceutical model is designed to allow people to eat junk and live broken, but mask the outcome of their poor dietary habits. And, way back, a few years ago, the first show I did that really crystallized this for me was a group in Canada that published a study that showed that glucose signaling needed to advance aging on a cellular level. They had done it in yeast, they had done it in C. elegantis, and it's obvious when you look at the diabetic population in the United States today, what's afoot. Talk to me about your study. First of all, why did you lead into this study?
We were interested in doing this study because, first of all, we
to look at the overall diet of a group of older adults, and as opposed to just looking at single nutrients in relation to health, we find it interesting to look at the overall diet because certain nutrients are correlated in the diet. So, for example, if you just look at intake of iron, for example, it's highly correlated with zinc. Many foods that have iron also have zinc. So if you look at the effect of iron on health and don't control for the zinc, for example, you may not be, you may get misleading results.
And isn't that why we have to look at epidemiological studies kind of with a grain of salt? Because when they become so narrowly focused on something, they leave out so many other peripheral things that are common and may have an effect, but don't take them into account.
Yes, that's absolutely true. In epidemiological studies, it's very important to try to control for as many of these possible confounding variables as possible. And we did try to do that in our study because there are so many variables that can affect survival besides diet. So we tried to control for those some of those factors. But you're right, it's very important to take studies with a grain of salt and see what they control for.
I had a guest once say to me that if an epidemiologist studied fires in the city of New York, they would come away saying that fire trucks cause fires because anytime there's a fire, there's fire trucks there. So I think that's kind of humorous, huh?
Yeah.
Talk to me about your study. How many participants were in the study?
Well, what we did is we used data from an ongoing cohort study conducted by the National Institutes of Health of about 3,000 adults aged 70 to 79 at baseline. And we excluded some people who didn't have all of the information on diet and other variables of interest. So we ended up looking at about 2,500 people. And the advantage of this cohort study is that they, at NIH, they just did a lot of measures of, you know, hundreds of different health measures. So we had a lot of detailed health measures to look at.
What were some of the markers or measures that you had at your availability that produced some of the most profound indicators of your results?
Well, I guess in our study, I guess our focus was really survival. So they did have a pretty good analysis of survival. They kept track of that through interviews and proxy interviews and had pretty detailed information on cause of death and things like that.
What was the longest of the study?
We looked at just over a 10-year period. So,
okay. So, of the 2,500-plus individuals that were monitored over this 10-year period, were they broken out into different dietary groups?
Yes. What we did is we used a statistical method called cluster analysis. And what cluster analysis does is it groups people together based on how similar their diets are in this case. So we came up with six groups based on just how similar their diets were. And the way we did it is we entered 40 food groups into the analysis. So people who were getting, based on the percent of calories they were getting from each of these food groups, they were clustered together based on how similar their diets were.
Were there predominant groups? Were there like the top five predominant groups where most people ate like this, or a large group of people ate like this or like that?
Cluster analysis is a little bit subjective, so we wanted to choose groups that had relatively equal numbers of people because to do statistical analysis, it's easier to do it when the numbers are relatively equal. But basically, the group that had the most people was actually this meat group. And then the other groups were about 300 to 400 people. The meat group had about almost 700.
Tell me about the meat group. They were categorized as eating a lot of meat in their diet, or?
Well, actually, the name of the group is a little misleading because they did eat a little bit more meat on average than other groups, but the percent of calories from meat was actually 4% versus about 2.8%.
Which doesn't surprise me because older adults tend to have a more difficult time digesting complex animal proteins. And so over decades, they start cutting back because they find that they just don't digest it as well, and lazy in their stomach, and they back away from it. Of the meat group, did you look at the difference between whole animal proteins and processed meats, like bologna and stuff like that? Or was meat just, if they ate meat, what was it?
No, we did have, of the 40 food groups, one was processed meat, and another group was meat, and then another group was poultry, fish, so there are different types of protein, but we did separate the processed meat from the meat.
Overall, of all the groups that you looked at, were you at all surprised at the total protein intake of older adults, or what was the total protein intake of older adults akin to?
I don't know if I have the grams of protein, but as far as percent calories from protein, the healthy foods group had the highest percent calories from protein. It got about 17% of calories from protein. The other groups were lower, maybe 12 to 14%.
And that makes perfect sense to me. But yet again, as someone who has an 87-year-old mother, and I buy her whey protein purposely so that she can supplement, I find that older adults don't get enough protein in their diet. Again, most likely because of the digestibility issue of it. That's really good news to me to hear that the high protein group seem to fare well, right?
Actually, right, it is important to look at the populations because these are older adults, and you're right, one issue for older adults is vitamin B12. Some older adults need supplements because of lower stomach acid, so they don't metabolize it as well, so it is important for older adults to watch intake of some of these nutrients associated with meat.
Let's do this. Let's take our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to explore and get deeper into these groups. We're talking today with Dr. Amy Anderson, and we're talking about the dietary patterns and survival of older adults, a study that her group published. Very, very good stuff. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Right stack together. Ironite Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful lethal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent
you. LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer, Anabolic State GT, has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anabolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as Best Pre-Workout Product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Scientists want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we'll be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anabolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anabolic State GT at Bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has Texadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEA. TestCharge.com to learn more about where you can find TestCharge today. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source using the original study. BioSource 347 is here. Bovine analysis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Rootless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule, Phytoserms 347, has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine analysis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Rootless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. We wrote our products crank you up and leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroys your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
Welcome back to Super Human Radio. You know, regardless of if you're older or you have elderly parents or loved ones you take care of, this, the takeaway of this research is really important. Because it comes down to this. There is a link between what you put in your mouth and how long you live. Period. End of story. My guest today is Dr. Andy Anderson. We're talking about their recent study on older adults and the linkage between dietary patterns. So, okay, Dr. Anderson, let's talk about the different groups. So the meat-eating group, as you call them, what other foods that are common in their diet besides slightly higher intake of meats?
Well, aside from slightly higher intake of meats, they did have slightly higher intake of fried foods, alcohol, and a few other groups.
Sounds like a fun group to me. I'm the funniest in the middle of the day. Okay, and that would be, in my opinion, that would be counterintuitive. I would have said, but then again, fried foods in olive oil versus, the type of oil plays a role as well.
Right, we were actually sort of surprised that this group didn't have a significantly higher risk of mortality. But when we looked closely at their diet, they did eat more vegetables than some of the other groups. So they also had intake of some healthier foods as well. So that might have counteracted some of the less healthy.
How about, was there any linkage to fat consumption in longevity?
Because we wanted to look at the overall diet and not focus on any specific nutrient, we didn't really look at fat specifically, but the healthy group did have a lower percent of calories from fat than the other groups.
Also, the healthy group was eating more calories, total calories, than the other group.
Actually, this group was had a higher percentage of women than some of the other groups, so they were eating slightly fewer calories, but that could be just because of the needs.
Right, sure. Okay, what were some of the other groups categorized as? We've got the meat group. What else was there?
We also had a high-fat dairy products group, a breakfast cereal group, a refined grains group, and a sweets and desserts group.
Tell me about the breakfast cereal group. Did they eat exclusively breakfast cereal, or did they just eat a lot of it, or they had it for breakfast every morning only?
Well, we named the groups based on foods they ate more of compared to the other groups, so they didn't exclusively eat breakfast cereal, but they did get about 24% of their calories from breakfast cereal. I think that in older adults, sometimes cereal is an easy thing to eat because it doesn't involve much preparation, and so that's why it might have been high in this population.
Well, you know what else I found? And going back to my 87-year-old mother and my first biology teacher, who had a penchant for eating Oreo cookies in between classes, older adults tend to like sugary stuff. My mom likes cookies and she likes sweets, and I have to always warn her off of them. I don't know if that's because as we become older, managing blood glucose becomes more difficult, and so the body craves these things. But I would think that breakfast cereals would have a
high degree of sweetener in them. Or am I wrong on that?
Right. I guess it depends on the type of cereal, but this group did have the highest carbohydrate intake as a percentage. But maybe people who are older, if it's easier to digest, maybe that could play a role. But
that's fine. Now let's talk about one of the other groups. You said the high fat and dairy group, right? They have, it's going to be easy with people who are drinking whole milk and eating whole milk products, I take it?
Right, whole milk, and ice cream, and other dairy products that were high in fat.
What was their sugar consumption as well? Was it also higher?
We don't have exact information on sugar. We just have total carbohydrate. That actually wasn't very high, the total, the carbohydrate and the percentage. Because they got such a high percentage from fat, this kind of lowered their...
Yeah, excuse it. Exactly. Well, let me ask you this. Was their carbohydrate intake, not percentage, but let's say calorically, similar to the cereal group calorically in carbohydrates?
You mean the source of carbohydrates?
Well, no, what I'm saying is if we eliminate the gravity that the higher fat intake creates in calories, and if we just look at the carbohydrate consumption of the whole fat dairy group, and the carbohydrate consumption of the cereal group, in calories, were they eating similar amounts of carbohydrates per day in calories, not necessarily as a percentage of the diet?
All of our results are pretty much in percentages because people's needs really vary based on their weight, their gender. So we didn't put actual grams, but percentages to show.
What I was looking for there was to see if they were eating just as much carbohydrates as the cereal group. It's just that the percentages were skewed because they were getting such a high caloric load from fat, which is 9 calories a gram versus 4 for carbohydrates. And so it appears that they were eating less carbohydrates, but they really weren't. They're eating the same plus extra fat. In other words, that's what I was going with that. I was just curious. Did you look at overall calorie consumption at all? Not necessarily broken down by macronutrient ratios, but total calories per person at all?
Yes, we did look at average total calories by cluster, by dietary pattern, and the highest calorie intake was from the sweets and desserts group.
Tell me about them, those little stinkers. Tell me about
them. Actually, this group was fairly surprising because they had 26% of calories just from sweets and desserts. So that's over a fourth of their calories just from those foods.
How did they on the longevity side?
They did have a 40% higher risk of mortality over this 10-year period than the healthy food group.
And the healthy food group had what percentage of risk of mortality?
Well, the way we did the study is we compared all of the groups to this healthy food group. So they were the standard, and then the other groups were compared to the
The healthy food group, I want to make sure I understand this, was the one that was eating high intake of meat and protein in general.
They did have a higher percent of calories from protein. Their diet was higher in poultry, lean meats, and low-fat dairy products would have been maybe the sources of protein.
Gotcha. Okay. Great. So that was they had the greatest outcome in mortalities.
Right. I can also just say that if you look at the number of people who died during this 10-year period, at the healthy foods group, it was 21%, and the sweets and desserts group was 32%. So that's how we figured out that it was a 40% higher chance in the sweets and desserts group.
Yeah. Okay. Now I understand. Okay. So, were there any other markers looked at besides dietary intake and compared against dietary intake? Did you look at the inflammatory response of certain diets by chance?
I have done some research on that separately, but in this paper we just looked at survival, and we also looked at blood measures of different nutrients.
Can we talk about that other study briefly? What was does that study, how was that study designed when you're looking at inflammatory response?
Actually, I've more looked into it not officially as a study, but just as a topic.
Okay, well, let's talk and just say that this is not necessarily a study, but what have you learned, what have you seen?
Actually quite a few studies have found that have linked diet to markers of systemic inflammation, such as C-reactive protein, and also some inflammatory cytokines like IL-6 and TNF-alpha, markers of systemic inflammation. So there are some studies that have found that a healthy diet is linked to lower levels of
and what are the unhealthy diets that seem to be pro-inflammatory?
One person who looked into this a fair amount is Walter Willett, who's head of the nutrition department at Harvard University, and he's considered the father of nutritional epidemiology. And he looks at patterns, the Western pattern versus the prudent pattern. And I guess the Western pattern is higher in less healthy foods, kind of.
But what is his opinion that unless healthy foods, higher carbohydrate consumption or grains, or does he have can you tell me about that or not?
Oh, sure. I think that he advocates, similar to other nutritionists, would say that whole grains are a good source of carbohydrate, but not the refined grains that constitute the majority of calories for a lot of people in the U.S. So he would say that whole grains are a good source, but not, so he would separate the carbohydrate, the type of carbohydrate.
Yeah, and that is important to do. But part of the problem with all of this type of research when we look at food is it's kind of like back in the day when someone made a copy of a piece of paper, they would say, go Xerox this for me. And the name Xerox became synonymous with making a copy. Even though you were using a sharp copier to make that copy, it was a Xerox copy. And so the same thing has happened with foods. There's a great diversity within food groups itself, and getting scientists to start to recognize this and be adding more specificity to the way they break these things out. For instance, I this is something that probably will never end up in a scientific study, but if they start to look at raw unpasteurized milk from grass-fed, hormone-free, antibiotic-free cows, I predict that the results of dietary intake of that over pasteurized milk that is made in traditional factory farming environment with hormones, with antibiotics, and the pasteurization process itself, you would see a different outcome in those individuals that consume one over the other. And so, now that's an extreme, obviously. And some will say that I'm a zealot for promoting raw milk, but I've been drinking raw milk for a decade, and I know its value, and I know a lot of people know its value. But the same is true of, as you said, the carbohydrate type. You know, we love grains in, right? But even whole grains, or grains in any way, shape, or form, it's the same thing. No, it's not the same. These refined grains hit the gut and hit the bloodstream so much faster and raise glucose levels and the insulinic response to it, that they don't compare to a whole grain, like a sprouted bread, for instance, like Ezekiel bread. Doesn't perform the same way as a whole grain mainstream bread that is very, very refined.
Mm-hmm. So, right, the refining process just strips the grains of a lot of the fiber and other important nutrients, so they have to be added back, but then the fiber is not added back.
And even when it's added back, it's not bonded in the same way. You know, one of my frustrations is that my listeners heard me say things over and over, and they're going to probably smack me. But we've gotten to this point where we believe that we are more intelligent than nature and the natural process. We think that we can take this beautiful kernel of grain, break it down into its component parts, reassemble it, it's the same thing that grew out of the ground, and it's not.
Right. I think most nutritionists would say it's good to eat close to the source of food. So,
I want to take a quick question, but when we come back, we're going to get back on task with your research about the linkage between dietary patterns and survival of older adults. We're talking this hour with Dr. Amy Anderson. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Yeah, go right there.
inhibitor called Piso, which has been shown in clinical trials to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Piso works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole senses a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, and the finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Primarilyperformance.com is a halidrol clone. Turnabone will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turnabone does not aromatize, there is no conversion to estrogen. Turnabone takes advantage of the patented liquid-based technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turnabone report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turnabone today while supplies last at primarilyperformance.com. Don't wait for Turnabone to be added to the federal ban list. Turnabone. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones. And Discharge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Discharge has Taxotrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Discharge. Discharge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured there are no banned substances in Discharge. Discharge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Discharge today. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. BioSerm 347 is here. Bovine adolescence has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine adolescence required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. I never felt the pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the other supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too. This is Strong. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. Amy Anderson about dietary patterns and its linkage with longevity and older adults. What about dietary patterns and their effect on chronic disease itself, metabolic syndrome? Did you look at that, or you just looked at their total lifespan outcome, and that was it? Oh, sorry, I had your mic. I'm sorry. Please, I had your mic turned up. I apologize.
Oh, that's fine. In this study, we did look at survival, but similar studies have looked at insulin sensitivity, blood glucose levels, and they have found an association between healthier dietary patterns and better insulin sensitivity.
Yeah. I have a feeling that it's all linked together. It's always been my belief. But that's what we're finding out as well. And, there's a scientist that I'm hoping to have on the show next week, named Dr. Cynthia Kenyon from the University of California in San Francisco, I believe, or San Diego. And she's just produced some research linking longevity to the hunter-gatherer diet. You know, abandonment of all refined carbohydrates. Even in her case, abandonment of carbohydrates of the starchy kind. No grains, no legumes, no rice, you know, vegetables, and animal protein. And I'm hoping to have her on to elucidate even to a greater degree, you know, perhaps the metabolic effects of different food types. But with your study, ultimately, what you showed was, could it be said that higher protein intake was linked with longevity? Could it be said that lower fat intake was linked with longevity? How would you summarize your findings?
Well, I think because we did try to look at the overall diet as opposed to focusing on individual macronutrients, the healthier diet did have a lower percentage of calories from fat and a higher percentage from protein. But I think, as you mentioned before, it really is the quality of these macronutrients that probably matters, the type of carbohydrate, the type of protein. Actually, Dr. Walter Willett recently did a study looking at low-carbohydrate diets and found differences based on what type of what types of low-carbohydrate diets people had. So I think it is important to look a little deeper than just the overall carbohydrate or protein intake.
When you say what type of low-carbohydrate diet, are you talking about where they got their protein and fat sources and what percentage of protein and fat to carbohydrate? We're talking about where they even got their smallest amount of carbohydrates from.
Well, you're right. Since they were low-carbohydrate diets, I guess they were looking more at the where the protein and fat came from.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally opposed. You know, when Dr. Atkins came out with the Atkins diet, I understood the effect of a ketogenic diet, but this attitude about abandoning all sensibility, and in other words, eating, you know, gobs of bacon with bacon fat and eating all of these things that we know aren't good just because they're not carbohydrates, and never sat well with me. And I've always felt that a ketogenic diet is something healthy to strive for, perhaps seasonally, because we know that Paleolithic human beings were polyphasic based on what was available to them by the season. And but this idea that, oh, well, you know, I can eat bacon because it's not a carb, there's so many things that are wrong with that. So, you know, I agree with you. I think that even in the absence of some of these quote-unquote bad carbohydrates, choosing the wrong protein and fat sources could create also a bad outcome.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think a lot of these diet books that are published, like from Dr. Atkins, may not be by people who have a lot of nutrition background. So it's I think that the ones that are, if people are going to read books about diet, it's good to look at the background of the person who's writing and make sure they have a background in nutrition. MDs don't necessarily have that.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's absolutely for sure. And I would also say this, not all nutritionists are created equal either. I'm totally opposed, personally, to the current food pyramid because I don't believe that our diet should be heavily laden in grains and cereals and then scant amounts of protein, which is what it proposes. I believe it should be the other way around. And I think that may be my own opinion. But I do think that finding nutritionists that have open minds and are staying current and reading research like yours and trying to interpret it and extrapolate from it and then modify what they tell their clients is very, very difficult. I think there's a lot of people out there who took nutrition in school 8 years ago and they haven't learned anything new in the past, you know, years that they've been practicing. So you have to be careful with where you get your nutritional advice in this day and age, regardless of who's delivering it to you. Where does your group go from here?
The group I'm working with is especially interested in looking at diet in relation to health, especially in older adults. So we'll probably do some more studies of this type. My research right now is actually more in food safety.
Talk about that. When you say in food safety, can you expand on that? What exactly are you looking at in food safety?
Well, right now I'm developing a food safety curriculum for Meals on Wheels programs, actually, because that's a group that serves very vulnerable people who are at higher risk of foodborne illness.
And also less able to respond to fighting off foodborne illness. Quite often it could kill them.
Right. Foodborne illness, it really, a person's immune system, the strength of their immune system really plays a role. So the reason that a lot of recommendations target pregnant women, young children, and older older adults is because they all have, children have developing immune systems. Pregnant women, their immune systems are suppressed so they don't reject the fetus.
Right.
And then the older adults have lower, weak, sometimes weaker immune systems as well.
Right, immune response as well. Sure, sure. So, in developing this, you're developing a curriculum to teach food safety for Meals on Wheels, and then that would be distributed throughout the nation, and that would become a standard for those people who are bringing meals to older adults who are perhaps shut-ins and that sort of thing?
Yes, that's right. We're trying to target different people within the Meals on Wheels program. So, the people who make the food and package it, and then also the volunteers who deliver the meals also.
How much of a role does refrigeration and proper care of food while in transit play in the contamination of food or the spoilage of food that is then being brought to older adults?
Yes, that's a very important part, is keeping food at the right temperature. So bacteria really can multiply quickly within this temperature danger zone of 40 degrees to 135 degrees approximately. And the goal is to keep the food out of that temperature danger zone so the bacteria don't start to multiply to dangerous levels.
I would have to believe that Meals on Wheels, I'm pretty sure, is a volunteer-driven approach, correct?
Yes, there are staff members at many of the programs and also volunteers. It's sort of a grounds-up type of program so that there are all different types of programs. Some are in churches, based in churches. Some are much more, they're bigger organizations with central kitchens. So it's really a diverse group of programs.
Right. And what I was getting at with that was, I have a feeling that food preparation has its own set of challenges in reducing the possibility of foodborne contamination and illness. But then I have a feeling that the grassroots effort of delivering this food is probably endeavored by volunteers who are using their own vehicles. And that is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, because you have people who are helping who probably don't have the proper refrigeration. Are they going directly to these individuals who are delivering the food? Are they stopping off someplace where the food is now warming up, thawing out, or whatever, and then delivering it? I guess that's what I was going with that one. I was just thinking of the scenario of managing volunteers and getting them to understand that how critical it is and just driving that food out there, what could happen just on the drive if the food starts to warm and, as you said, bacteria starts to multiply.
That's absolutely one of the most important parts of our curriculum is focusing on the delivery of the meals, because it's true that many people aren't aware of the importance of time and temperature control to reduce the risk of foodborne illness, which it does affect one in six people a year in the U.S. That's a pretty common problem, which a lot of people don't even know because the symptoms can be similar to others.
I'm throwing up, I've had diarrhea, my stomach is filling, I'm running a low-grade fever. And the first thing I said to them was, when did these symptoms start? About an hour ago. What did you eat 8 hours ago? Where did you go? Oh, I had sushi 8 hours ago. Well, you may want to think about this. It may not be the flu. It may be gone tomorrow or the day after. You may have just gotten something, bad in your system.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those people don't realize it.
Absolutely, because the flu is more of a respiratory illness that spreads through coughing or sneezing, and so people have upper respiratory symptoms as opposed to digestive symptoms.
And you still have the same aches and pains in your body that you do with the flu, and that's why people right away think it's the flu. Okay, Dr. Anderson, so what would you like my listeners to take away from this study?
I think there are a few messages we'd like people to take away from it. One is, generally there's been a little bit of a misconception, maybe in the medical community, that it doesn't matter so much what people eat at older ages, that maybe their diet at that point doesn't make a big difference. But I think one of our messages is that what people eat can have a, can improve their health and quality of life at any age. This is what previous studies have also shown this. And I think that it's also good to focus on quality of life because it's maybe not so important how long people live, but it's, I mean, it's also important how what the quality is of their life.
People I would read this study, physicians. Because you've got many physicians out there who will tell their patients that the food that plays no role in disease and longevity.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's probably not to expect the doctors be experts in both diagnosis and treatment of disease and also other lifestyle factors such as nutrition to prevent disease. So I think our view, my colleague Dr. Nadine Plahune, has said this, that it's probably good for if doctors can refer people to dietitians so that instead of expecting doctors to learn all of this extra information, since we have such a complex topic, that they be more ready to refer people to dietitians.
That would be great for doctors to do. It really would be great. Maybe progressive practices could have a dietitian in-house under the same roof, and the physician could say, next Wednesday, you have your appointment to come in here and meet with our dietitian. You know, they're going to set you up with me. That would be great. Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on Super Human Radio to talk about this very, very important research.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And please keep me posted of if you any other research in this vein as a result to diet and longevity, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, thank you so much, Dr. Anderson.
Oh, sure, thank you. Okay.
Stay tuned. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what Friday's show is going to be all about. We're going to be doing something very different tomorrow. I'm going to have a co-host in here, and we're going to be talking about the next topic. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Now, Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per house.
That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space. When you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, hurricane series power blocks with touchscreen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength levels all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1837. Powerblock, the world's best dumbbell.
When you take real performance enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles M2 Guard. M2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy M2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. Turnable from PrimaryPerformance.com is a halogenol clone. Turnable will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turnable does not aromatize, there is no conversion to estrogen. Turnable takes advantage of the patented liquid-based technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turnable report increased strength and lean gains with little
harm side effects. Get Turnabone today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turnabone to be added to the federal ban list.
Turnabone. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space. When you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, near-thing series power blocks with touchpad technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at $249 a pair, power blocks can grow your strength levels all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1837. Powerblock, the world's best dumbbell.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. All right, so tomorrow we're going to be doing something fun. And if it works out, we're going to do this every Friday, so I need you guys to tune in and give me feedback. Tomorrow I'm going to have my executive producer in the studio, Elisa Profumo. And we're going to be on here, we're going to tackle a bunch of different topics. Part of this stuff, some stuff that I see, or that she has seen in magazines, or in newspapers, or heard on, you know, the Today Show, where they're giving people bad advice, garbage advice. We're just going to talk about it, we're going to address it, and have just kind of a little banter on Friday, sort of a casual Friday. And I'd like your feedback and input. If you have topics that you've seen, you know, stupid stuff, like when they tell you, here's a nutritional tip. At night, a good thing to have before bed is bananas and strawberries. And it's like, come on, you don't want to eat sugars right before bed. It's stupid. And they say stupid stuff like, because that's lower calorie than having, you know, a piece of chicken or some low-fat cottage cheese. So when I'm doing these shows in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to feel how I do them. It's going to be more of a current events meets what bugs us about what misinformation is being given out there. And if you have any topic that you think deserve being addressed, I'd appreciate you either going to Facebook, if you're not already my friend, Facebook friend me, Carl Lenore, L-A-N-O-R-E, and messaging me there. Or you can send me an email by using the official email used by listeners, which is onair, O-N-A-I-R, at superhumanradio.com. And again, I want feedback about tomorrow's show, and I want suggestions about some other topics that we can hammer at, have some fun with, maybe attack some people, point out some stupidity, point out some inconsistency, and we'll have some fun with this, hopefully, and we can look forward to it every Friday and develop it as a platform. All right, I want to thank, first of all, Marshall Brain from HowStuffWorks.com. Very cool website, very cool dude, for coming on and talking to us about shaving. And I am going to go to a thrift store and find an old-fashioned safety razor like my dad shaved with. And if it gives me a better shave than this multiple-blade pontoon that I'm shaving with now, and it's less expensive, you can book. That's what I'm going to switch to. And I want to also thank Dr. Amy Anderson for coming on and talking about it, and confirming it, because we know this already, that if you eat the right foods, you can live longer. And we're going to actually do another show about this with Dr. Cynthia Kenyon, more importantly, because she has discovered what the right foods are. I want to thank you for listening to Superhuman Radio today, and we will see everybody tomorrow with our annual Friday show. See you
Check out the new line, super chance to bring your home, you won't be disappointed.